Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community In Depth, and we are thrilled to have on the phone with us today the superintendent of the Hastings Public School District, Dr. Bob McDowell, and he is joined also by Jen Reichel. Jen is the director of teaching and learning with the Hastings Public School System. We couldn't be more thrilled to chat it up with the two of you. How have you been?
We've been really good, really busy, but really good.
You know what? I would like to hear from you, Superintendent McDowell, a little bit about where we are with the schools. And then I do want to get into, we're going to chat about a new initiative that is going on with the school system. But first of all, how is it going? How are the little cuties enjoying being back in school?
You know, the buildings are filled with excitement, both by our students and our staff right now. Things are going really well. You know, we continue, as we've talked before, we just have such a strong team in all of our buildings in that district that the amount of planning that people have put into this and the work that people have put into this really pays off once we get kids back in our buildings. And so that's really what's being evidenced now is the amount of time and effort people have put into making this successful for the return of our kids.
It's wonderful, and I like how it's been such a staggered rollout so that you can tweak it along the way, and I know that the secondary kids are looking forward, for the most part, to actually go back to in-person the week of the 16th of February. How is that going to work out? And then I know there's two tiers to that, that you have the 9th graders and 12th graders going back, and then is it a couple weeks later? Can you explain, please?
Sure. As you mentioned, our 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 12th graders are going to go back to hybrid learning starting next week. And then on March 1st, we'll bring in our 10th and 11th graders. So we have to continue to roll in. If people remember when we talked last, we can only roll in a maximum of 3 grade levels in a building at a time for secondary right now. And we felt it was important to get our 9th graders and our seniors back in buildings first. So that's why we chose that. But that's what it'll look like. We'll bring the majority of the grades back in next week Tuesday. And then on March 1st, we'll bring in our last 2 grades. And we'll have all of our kids back in our buildings, at least in hybrid.
I love that. And you know what? There's just an energy, I think, when the kids are able to be with their peers and when the teachers are able to be with their colleagues. That's going to be just really fun to watch roll out. Well, I know that we wanted to talk today about something that is a commitment, and that is your commitment to equity in the school system. And with that, I know you're taking some action steps. Who would like to tell us about that, please?
You know, we've really tried to continue to bring our work around equity to the forefront in Hastings. And with that came really under the direction of Jen Reichel, who's with us today, our equity action planning team, which she and Gabe Moreno from the high school have put together and have been working on for several months now, and really have put together some programming for our staff to build out and to help us better understand really what is meant by equity, what we need to do, what we can do better, what we do well. And it's really been a very powerful piece that Jen's been able to put together for the district, and I'm just really proud of that work. So it's moving and gaining momentum every day.
And as far as the word equity goes, it's a word we hear thrown out a lot. What do you mean equity in relation to this planning team that has been put together, please?
Sure. I'll let Jen fill in anything I miss, but we're really focusing on ensuring that we are meeting the needs of all of our students in our system. And each and every student has an individual set of needs. We're also focusing on ensuring that our students that have been marginalized in the past really have somewhat of an equal playing field when it comes to their learning, their engagement, and their access to education.
And this is something I know that has been on the forefront of what you want to accomplish for a long time.
Yeah, I think it's important for all districts to do this, and everybody's in a different spot. It's something that we have a staff that is in a great spot and was ready to take it on. And we also had work that had been done in the past, building up to the ability to put our equity action planning team together. So it isn't necessarily that it's something brand new, but it's something that we've been able to build off of and really gain some momentum here in the past month.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. Jen, let's turn it over to you, please. And first of all, before we go any further, I want to say, as the Director of Teaching and Learning, would you be so kind as to thank all the teachers on behalf of the kids that are supposed to be learning about all the hoops that they have jumped through to make this school year, you know, as great as it can be. And I know it's got to be tough on everybody. And I always remind our own kids, you know, it's got to be tough on your teacher too. So, you know, boo-hoo, I don't want to hear your sad stories. So can you please thank everybody, Jen?
Absolutely. I know as I have seen our teachers step up in the last year, because we've been at this for almost a year now in various forms of how we're managing this new way of educating our kids. Our teachers are learning more every day about how to meet the needs of their kids. And, you know, they are as eager as our learners are to get back into the classroom and see those kids face-to-face and feel that energy that is just not the same when you're in a virtual world.
No, it's not. And one of my favorite cartoons I saw not too long ago was two people talking, and they were talking about distance learning, and the caption was something like, and just like that, parents no longer wondered why teachers had 3 months off a year.
Right.
So it's been tough. So on behalf of everybody, thank you, thank you, thank you. And on top of that, I love this new initiative. So tell us how the Equity Action Planning Team came about, please.
Well, as we were looking at last year on the heels of the events that started off the summer, we put together a summer book club and invited staff to participate when it worked best for them. And we gave them about 10 options, and we narrowed it down to 8. And our staff, by and large, were super excited to participate. And we knew as we headed into the fall that we couldn't end our work with a summer book club. And so with some guidance from Dr. McDowell, we invited staff from across the district to volunteer to participate in what we called the Equity Action Planning Team. And we have almost 25 folks who represent every school in the district and just about every grade level. And we really worked hard to make sure that we had a balance of departments and experience and all of those good things as we put the team together. And as we have met about twice a month, every month since the end of October, that group has learned a lot and is working diligently to move beyond that self-learning into helping their colleagues grow as well.
You know, I would assume if it's from all of the different schools and different grade levels, a lot of these teachers had never met each other before. So how fun to bring people together that you might not necessarily interact with.
Yeah, and it's been really important, you know, knowing that, to work on the group dynamic, because we know that at some point we're going to hit some uncomfortable conversations where most of the folks on my team are likely eager to engage in those conversations, but they're going to want to model those with maybe some colleagues who are a little bit more reluctant. And so that team building is so important when really trying to wrap our arms around such an important issue.
So the task force has been meeting since last October, and what are some of the things that have come out of it so far, please?
Oh, thanks for asking. So we have really dug into creating our own definitions for what is equity, what is culture, and what is ethnicity, so that we could make sure that we're ambassadors of a common message when we shared those things with our colleagues. We were partnering with the school board on drafting some potential language to use in a future policy or, you know, any sort of planning that they might do. Every participant on the team has undergone the IDI, which is the Intercultural Development Inventory, which really gives each person where they are on a continuum of how ready and how, you know, what sort of skills they have to engage in conversations with people of different cultures, which doesn't necessarily mean race cultures, but any sort of group that operates differently. And then over the past month, they've been really digging deep into how are we going to jumpstart the work with the larger community using Black History Month as a catalyst, knowing that we can't have Black History Month be a one and done. So what are we going to do for the next month, and then how does that lead us into what happens after February?
So let's get back to the very first thing that you did in your definitions of what is equity, what is ethnicity. Can you tell people about that?
Sure. So we had each of the groups really think about the definitions of those words. We had them do a little research, and then we invited them to think about what analogy might we make for those words that helps people understand at a broader base. One of the things, like for culture, for example, we talked about culture is like a home. It's something where we have a comfort level, we've organized it the way we want, we operate in a way that makes sense to us, and we may invite folks into our home to help them see us better, but as you walk into somebody else's home, not your home, but you get to experience it with them. And so that's been really, you know, those analogies I think were really helpful for us as we explained and helped others better understand some of those critical words.
And is this self-led, or who is taking charge of this?
Yes, like Dr. McDowell said, Gabe Moreno, who is our equity coordinator, he works across the district but is housed at the high school, and I have been co-facilitating, and we have really been digging into who are our contacts out in the world who do this sort of equity work and have leaned into those experts, if you will, to help us navigate this path with our team.
And is this something then that you will engage the staff with, and then will we in turn be engaged as students and then as parents, or how do you see this rolling out?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it, Mo? You know, we know that the work can't be 25 people, that it has to be more than us. And we also know that the equity work is really three parallel tracks. We have to work on each of us as individuals to understand our place in this equity world. We have to work on the group and how do we grow ourselves and increase our capacity to support our larger collegial group. And then we have to work systemically. You know, what are some of those practices that are part and parcel of Hastings that have good intentions that may be working against those good intentions? And it's not until we have a better understanding of that whole equity and what does it mean and how does it play out that we can have a readiness to really see our system with a different lens.
And what have been some of the surprising things that have come out of this so far for you?
I think one of the things that I'm really excited about is that our team is ready to go. Like, they are eager to be the point people at their schools. They're the ones who communicate following each of our meetings with their colleagues, and they are really ready to engage in those conversations to say, all right, what do we need to do better in order to serve each of the students who are in our system?
And this is something that I know isn't going to be one and done. This is going to be an ongoing evolution. How far out are you thinking?
Well, we're beginning to talk about what does next year look like and at what point might we need to bring in an outside partner who could help us in, you know, continuing to expand the outreach of this group, because we know that these 25 people who are on the team are full-time employees of the district, and so all of the things that they're doing on behalf of this team is above and beyond that, and so we may need some support from a partner out there who could help us better navigate or who has the time and capacity to do more enhanced training or support, something like that. So we're already talking about what does next year look like. We know that this is a multi-year investment that we're making in our system.
Dr. McDowell, how is this compared to other school districts? Obviously, every district is different, but it seems to me this is very forward-thinking and a real positive for the Hastings School District.
you know, you're right on where this is something that pertains to all school districts. Every district is trying their best to support the students in that system, in that learning organization, and every district is in a different place with it. And I think it's just, I don't know that it's as much forward thinking as it is responsive, right? So we need to, as Jen talked about, we need to look at who we are individually and what we need to learn and grow, and how can we best support kids based on that learning. And then as a group, collectively, how do we continuously improve our system to continue to meet more and more of our students' needs as our demographics change in our district. And so that's really the ultimate goal, is this idea of continuous improvement and really creating situation after situation that supports every one of our students the best we can.
And do you think there will be a time when there will be a component that involves students and perhaps parents? Because our world is changing, and I think it can mm-hmm. only behoove all of us.
You know, it doesn't matter what the topic is, but you always get to a spot where it makes sense to involve everyone who's impacted by the initiative or by the work. I think, as Jen pointed out, as we gain capacity and we gain knowledge and we feel like we are, as a staff, as confident as we can be in our learning, then there will become entry points that make sense to engage students, the community, the families at various levels along the way. And so I think we'll start seeing that as we move through the spring and into the fall.
I have to compliment both of you. This is just a wonderful initiative, and we wish you continued success. Jen, would you be so kind as to tell people where they can find additional information?
It will take just a couple of clicks to get there, but if you go to our district homepage, and up along the top, you'll find a toolbar that allows you to choose where to go next. You're going to pick departments and services, and under there is teaching and learning. And everything you want is under that umbrella. If you look on the left-hand side, once you're in teaching and learning, there is a button called Equity, and within there, you'll be able to access all of our equity team updates, a virtual bookshelf, and our plans for Black History Month and beyond are in that page, too.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you both for joining us today. We want to thank you and wish you success in this initiative. Jen Reichel, she is the Director of Teaching and Learning with District 200. And we also want to thank Superintendent of Hastings Schools, Dr. Bob McDowell. And I know both of you are available also by email if people have some questions as well. Thank you so much. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
I will let